The numbers told the story. They always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It is Gil Alexander. Ben Wilson in for Jeff Parlay this week. Jeff Parlay, producer number 5 and 8. It's wedding season, so he is going to, I think, 74 weddings this week. I believe it's the exact
number. Give or take.
Something like that. Ben, we're getting feedback. We're getting feedback on the last segment. This is fabulous. First of all, text from Michael Montesano, who won the booby prize at Circus Sports a couple years back. He says, my head is spinning listening to Ben, LOL. But here's the thing.
Doing my best.
Here's one more from Hazmat Harry. Hazmat Harry says, that college baseball segment just put my mind in a blender. Now, to both of you, I will defend you, Ben.
Thank you.
Literally, my buddy Brad spent 20 minutes trying to explain this to me yesterday. I'm a fairly intelligent human being. Consider myself to be fairly intelligent, though I still can't get the higher or lower seeds thing ever correct, by the way. I still can't get that terminology correct. But I could not understand. Again, I get it. It's 64 to 16 to 8. What I'm trying to get at, though, is the whole, like, the home field and the seedings and how that changes. By the way, I went to the Wikipedia page, right? I don't need to have a human being in the room with me, right? It's just me and the text. Usually that way I can absorb it. There's typically nothing in a sports format that I don't understand. I still don't quite get it. But it's okay. I don't have to get it in the end.
College baseball, too, is such a unique sport in that, like, the ranking system is used by a third party. D1Baseball.com does the rankings for college baseball, and they're really, really good. But it's the only sport where you basically have this. And, I mean, there's some, you know, like swimming and some of the, you know, very small sports do this. But, like, there's a separate body that basically does the rankings.
Is that what we're talking about? What's the Warren Nolan part?
So that is also, yeah, Warren Nolan does the, there's the nitty-gritty. Like, there's the ELO, all these different RPI numbers. There's about 7 or 8 different metrics that are used in baseball. And, it's like if KenPom was just adopted as like a,
yes,
you know, the end all be all for college basketball, but that's obviously not how that works.
Well, let's bring in a gentleman who is the glue that holds this whole operation together. He's the Swiss Army Knife of VSiN, co-host of Long Shots, greatest golf betting show there ever was, and co-host of so many shows here. It's Wes Reynolds. How you doing, Wes?
Good morning, Gil. How are you?
I'm doing well. Do you bet the College World Series?
I do a little bit. Usually I will get to the regionals and then the super regionals. I don't really have time to do it during the regular season, yeah. But usually I bet it. And I really got into it when my alma mater, Indiana, actually made Omaha back in the early 2010s. That's back when they had Kyle Schwarber and a couple other players, a couple other pitchers that actually made the major leagues. Also Sam Travis, who spent some time with the Boston Red Sox. So, you know, Indiana had never really been a college baseball power or anything relevant. And then they made it that year. By the way, very underrated event in Omaha, College World Series. I went to it when Indiana was there. So if your alma mater does make it, I recommend going. It's a good time.
I'd love to go. My alma mater, Tufts, hasn't been there quite yet. One of these days, Ben.
Tufts didn't quite make it.
By the way, this is from Trip Tepper. I was hoping someone on VSiN would dive into the CWS odds. I'm bullish on East Carolina, UNC, and North Carolina State. I like the no on Tennessee to win the College World Series at Circa, which is currently minus 395. Wow. Minus 395 on that. And then here's one, Roger Jones. I'm not sure what this means. He says, will you be all by Wes? He must have had a typo here. More about wrestling or elevators being stranded. Do you know what that means, Wes?
I do know what that means, Gil, because I was at a show at the T-Mobile Arena last night, the AEW show, and got on the elevator to leave the show, and we were there for about an hour before the fire department came in and got us. Actually, I was with one of our VSiN producers, Aaron Oster, who does the nightcap, and we were there for about an hour, had a woman in there that was about 8 months pregnant as well, so that is not a good experience. And we were in there and we were dialing. They were like, they were telling us it was 5 minutes. Well, it'll be about 35 minutes. So, yeah, we were stuck in the elevator. And then there was a staff of T-Mobile Arena crew that were there waiting for us for some waters and some soft drinks and gave us these souvenir steel chairs that they always have on the floor for these wrestling shows with like a picture of the poster basically on the seat of the chair. And they gave them to us. I'm like, is that a real good idea to give people that have been stuck in an elevator for an hour steel chairs?
That's probably a good point. I hope the wrestling was good though, Wes. You enjoyed it nonetheless?
It was fun. It was fun. And then I have a new experience. I had never been stuck in an elevator before. Yeah. So,
oof, boy, oh boy. That's some people handle that better than others. Let's put it that way. Indy 500, you got the winner yesterday?
It did end up getting the winner, Marcus Ericsson at 17-1. And I talked about in a couple segments on VSiN on various programs that Chip Ganassi Racing looked like they were going to be the dominant team of the month. And they certainly were just about the dominant team of the race. The first two qualifiers, one being Scott Dixon and Alex Palou. Dixon, former winner of the Indy 500, now a five-time pole sitter. I think he led about 95 of the 100 and of the 160 laps at the Indy 500. But he was leading late, got busted for a pit speeding violation that took him out, where he's pretty much, that gives him a drive-through penalty, had to go through the back of the line. And then another guy that I did bet, Alex Palou, who was the number two qualifier, he had another trouble in the pits too, because there was an accident and he tried to dip into the pits for service. The yellow light comes on, so you're not allowed to go in the pits when the pits are closed. So then he had to drive through back and lost track position in his own right. But Marcus Ericsson, the man from Sweden, he kind of just hung in there all day. He was like top five all day, never really on the lead, but always in the lead pack. And then everything shook out and his teammate had some misfortune and looked like he was maybe going to get jobbed out of the race there with a few laps left, because his other teammate, Jimmy Johnson, the seven-time NASCAR champion, had a crash with about five laps to go. So they weren't going to be able to clean up the track in time, or so they say. So they red flagged the race. And that's something that IndyCar usually doesn't do. That's kind of like a NASCAR thing where it's like, we got to give you a finish under the checkered flag because we don't want the race to finish under yellow. So I thought, okay, Marcus Ericsson might be a sitting duck up there, but he was able to hold off the Mexican driver, Pato O'Ward. Just really good defensive driving, just anticipating where O'Ward was going to go behind him, you know, to avoid being overtaken. So Marcus Ericsson, your newest Indy 500 champion.
Congratulations to you. And tell everybody how many Indy 500s you have attended in person, Wes.
Oh, gosh, it's been close to 30. It's 30. Probably high 20s because it's been intermittent. Like, I don't have the streak that some of these other folks have had where it's been like, yeah, this is my 50th or 55th year in a row. Like, I don't have that. Mine have kind of been broken up a little bit, having something going on or being out of town. But, yeah, I've been to probably somewhere 25 to 30 of those.
That is amazing. Okay, golf yesterday, Charles Schwab Challenge, which Sam Burns ends up winning in a playoff against Scottie Scheffler. Two things here. Well, Ben, they both have to do with Burns and Scheffler. One, first of all, Burns was 7 back to begin the final round. He was 150-1. I know somebody who, or know of someone who had just on a flyer, took Sam Burns at 150-1 before the round. He gets home. He was in the clubhouse with a 65, 9 under, and there was like five guys in front of him at 10 under. Four collapsed. He ends up in a playoff with Scheffler, and he wins it when he sinks a 38-footer in the first playoff hole. And I guess the question is twofold. One, you know, I've been saying Scottie Scheffler's different to me. He's live in every tournament that he's in. Like, as great as Rahm is and as great as the other elite players are, Spieth, pick your guy, whoever it is, they just show up once in a while. They don't show up every week. Scottie Scheffler, to me, is of a different cloth, and I know it didn't work out in the PGA. So let's just, I get it. It didn't work out last week. But seemingly, every other time, he's in this. So one, moving ahead to the U.S. Open, as short of an odd number that we have on Scheffler, don't you have to play him? And two, can I start to say the same thing about Sam Burns, that he's live in everything?
Well, yes, Sam Burns now has 4 PGA Tour wins over basically a little bit less than 2 years now. And yeah, yesterday was chaos at the Colonial because after the Indy 500, I went over to the Charles Schwab Challenge. And I'm like, okay, we got 4 tied for the lead here. Now, we expected that there was going to be windy conditions and it was hot, so the greens were drying out a little bit. But I was like, okay, if the conditions aren't too bad, I think the cream rises to the top and Scottie Scheffler holds on. And it looked like he was going to, and he actually led the field strokes gained tee to green. But, you know, the commentators on CBS were like marveling at this. They're like, this seems like, you know, like a D flight at the club or something, just the way that this was going. And nobody had a worse fate than Harold Varner yesterday, just a disaster on the back nine. It was so painful actually watching that. I believe he had 2 triples and a double. This guy was, I believe, at 1.10 under par and on the lead. And then all of a sudden you've got to keep scrolling down the leaderboard, scrolling, scrolling, scrolling. 10 under through 7, 2 triples, 2 doubles, and a bogey at the 18th. Just a nightmare. And Brendan Todd was right there. He faded. Davis Riley faded. And then Sam Burns, you usually don't see that, Gil, where you complete around 2 hours before everybody else. And then Burns, 38-footer on the playoff hole, goes ahead and wins. But, yeah, these guys are consistently good players, and you're getting consistent winners out there. So both of them, I think, especially Scheffler, being more proven in major championships now with the win at the Masters, are going to be, you know, right there, and Scheffler will be one of the co-favorites certainly in a few weeks.
We only have 30 seconds before the break here, but do you have any U.S. Open bets? What's your update on that?
The only thing I have my remaining Cam Smith bets that I bet during the Masters. I was like, I'm going to bet him and all the rest of the 3 majors that are around a 30-1 tag. So that's all I have, at least right now.
Okay. Talk about any sport. Wes is super knowledgeable in all of it. We'll talk basketball, hockey, baseball, the standard North American major sports. We will do that after the break. See if Wes has bets or his thoughts on all of those. Big game 7 tonight in hockey. It's a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network.
A numbers game with Gil Alexander on Visa, the sports betting network.
The VSiN Summer Special is here. For only $39, you get everything VSiN has to offer from now to the end of July. The next few months are going to be filled with the best betting content in the business right here at VSiN.com. And subscribers will have access to all of it, including Adam Burke's daily MLB best bets, Jonathan Von Tobel with his best bets all the way through the NBA Finals, Andy McNeil breaking down all the action on the ice all the way through the Stanley Cup playoffs, lots of NFL preseason coverage as well, not to mention continued best bets and premium articles covering golf, UFC, USFL, and NASCAR. If you want the full VSiN experience, which features a daily best bets email, every edition of Point Spread Weekly, use of our betting tools, and a live video stream whenever you want it. The cost is only $39 to be a subscriber through July 31st. Sign up now at VSiN.com/summer. It's Gil Alexander. It is in the books, and Holger Vitus Rune, there's actually a fourth name, which I'm forgetting, has upset Stefanos Tsitsipas in 4 sets. That's on the other half of the bracket, if you will. Not the Djokovic, Nadal, Alcaraz side of the bracket, but Holger Rune is on his way to the quarterfinals.
Holger Vitus Nadskov Rune to
That's
you,
the
Gil.
One.
Plus 375.
Holger Vitus Nadskov Rune is on the way to the quarters.
What a run.
What a run. Not a match I wanted any part of. As Tsitsipas has just been, all of his matches were going too long. He was logging too many sets. There was a dude, I want to say it was the second round match, where he went 4 sets, and it might as well have been 5 because they were 4 long sets, with a guy I had never heard of. And if I haven't heard of him.
Zdeněk Kolar.
Correct.
Zdeněk Kolar. Him. Something like that.
That's right.
It was 3 breakers, the final 3 sets. And it was just,
Yeah.
Like you and Drew Dinsick, I mean, when you guys did your breakdown of this and made the case for at least Tsitsipas. He had a wide open half.
Wide open half.
I listened to that and I'm thinking, I should probably get some money down on Tsitsipas. And I'm thinking, wait, we've seen this story before. You cannot trust Tsitsipas no matter who the opponent is.
It's amazing how you get saved. Some of the best bets are the bets you don't make. And during that podcast, I literally, when the draw came out, Drew and I were live reacting to that draw and how it just laid out for Tsitsipas. Like, oh my God, everybody's on the other side. And I was like, should I go make a Tsitsipas insurance bet in the middle of my podcast and let Drew just keep talking? Or should I wait till the end of the podcast? I'll wait till the end of the podcast. I'll do the professional thing. Was off the board by the time I got there. Saved me. Holger Vitus Nadskov Rune to the quarters. You wonder why the American audience won't warm itself to tennis, which I'll never understand. Wes Reynolds is back with us. Wes, who survived a harrowing elevator stoppage after wrestling yesterday. Let me just ask you this last thing about that, Wes, for a second. Is there you know, a wrestling history conversation that goes on in that elevator? Or you guys pass the time? Are you wowing them with sports trivia? Like, what's the dialogue in there?
We were talking a little bit about the show. There was a match last night, Gil. It was a 5-on-5, two teams of five, called Anarchy in the Arena.
Sure.
So Anarchy in the Arena, and that's what they did. So what they do, they fight basically all over the arena. So we step out of our box where we were watching the show, and we could look down the stairs, and there were two guys, like, literally fighting in the arena as part of the match and, you know, getting into a brawl at the concession stand. So we're all out there. All the people on the level go out and take the pictures with their cell phones and are watching this. Like, literally, there were catering staff and ushers and security literally watching what they're seeing. Like, oh, I can't believe what I'm seeing. Like, these are people that work all the arena events, work all the concerts, work all the Golden Knights games or any athletic competitions that are there. And they're like, this is the damnedest thing I've ever seen. This guy's got like mustard all over him because they fought in the concession stand. A guy is literally dragging another man with a belt around his neck on the concourse floor. So a good time was had by all. Though,
good time.
Good family fun.
Good, clean family fun. We have a game 7 in hockey tonight, Wes. Carolina and the Rangers for the right to advance to the Stanley Cup Eastern Conference Finals to take on the two-time defending Stanley Cup champ Tampa Bay Lightning. This has been home team's win the whole way through. In fact, the Hurricanes are even beyond this series. That's what they're about, the home road split. They're -150 in game 7. The Rangers are +130 coming back. Do you have a placer? The total's 5.5.
I have not bet it yet. I did like Carolina in this series, and you're right, it's been home dominated. But if you really look at kind of the more holistic view of the series, the Rangers have actually been the better team, and I didn't think that they would be, because I felt, look, I kind of sucked one out on the river at the poker table having the Rangers in the first round over Pittsburgh, because I was like, they're not the better team here, and they weren't. But nevertheless, you know, they were able to get by. Antti Raanta, who's been so great for Carolina in relief of Frederik Andersen, who is their goaltender, had such a great regular season, has been injured in the playoffs. But he was bad on Saturday night in Game 6 and gave the Rangers the momentum back. And now Carolina, once again, failing to put a team away in Game 6, and they got to win again in Game 7. Rangers have closed the gap because Igor Shesterkin has been really, really good. Had a tough series against Pittsburgh because the defense in front of him was absolutely terrible. Saturday did go over. There were 7 goals scored. That was the first time. Now, you're going to see the under get bet because I think the betting market kind of knows, okay, Game 7, these teams are afraid to make a mistake, and the first team that gets the goal, then you see it change pace and whatnot. So, you know, I think 5/140, that's probably the right total based on how we've seen the series play out. But I'm a little nervous having a little ticket on the Carolina Hurricanes here, because they should have put this team away, but they haven't lost in Raleigh. So we'll see if Carolina, if they can get a Game 7, if they can be a team that wins the Stanley Cup without winning on the road. So far, they've been able to do it.
Yeah, I always wonder if that's just random, right? In hockey, I just wonder if it's just this weird thing with them where it's happened this way thus far, and if they don't just crap out miserably at home in one of these games, hopefully for them, not tonight's game, because that would be obviously the decider for them on this season. NBA, Warriors and Celtics begins on Thursday. Warriors -150 consensus price on the series. They're 3.5-point favorites in game 1. Do you have a position on this series or in game 1 itself?
Not as of yet, and you were mentioning Thursday. I was like, when does that series start? Like about mid-July? Because
yeah.
It seems like it does.
Oh,
it seems
I know.
Like there's a huge delay. By the way, I was just doing a little bit of reading before we came on. This is the first NBA Finals with the top two teams in defensive efficiency meeting in the finals since 1996. And that was the Bulls and the Gary Payton led and George Karl coached Sonics in that 96 series. And then you also have a disparity when you look at the experience. Golden State Warriors, they have 123 games with players on this roster in the NBA Finals. The Celtics have a goose egg. So that's the biggest margin, I believe, since 97, the year after that 96 series, where the Jazz had zero finals experience and the Bulls had 134 games. So I don't know if that's just an anomaly or if there's a, you know, going to be something to that. But look, I got the Celtics through the East, got the series, got a little bit of on an Eastern Conference future. But I wonder if they're kind of a little bit at the end of the road here, where, you know, they're living dangerously in terms of some of these games, like against Milwaukee and, of course, against Miami. So you wonder eventually if you just run out of gas, Gil, because they've had so many high leverage games, whereas the Warriors, you know, kind of when they needed to flip the switch, they've been able to do it.
Yeah, you don't want to do that against the Warriors, that's for sure. And you said it, 123 games of NBA Finals experience collectively for the Dubs, 0-4, the Celtics. I want to say that 96 Sonics series, don't hold me to this, but I want to say the Bulls went up 3-0 and the Sonics took two games.
Yes,
before.
I think you're right, yes.
It was strange in that way. Okay, and then Major League Baseball today, it's Memorial Day. Typically there's like full day games of baseball. We do have some, but it's not like a serious amount. I don't know why baseball got away from that. Do you have any plays today on the Major League Baseball card?
Yeah, I was looking and seeing, and there were several teams. I know the Yankees are not in action today, so I thought every team basically played on this day.
Me
but
too.
Apparently not. Just one that I'm looking at a little bit, and a pitcher that I like to back, but the market, I think, has priced him accordingly. Pablo Lopez, who's kind of used to being an underdog, now about $1.50 favorite on the road in Colorado. I thought that that was a little big. That's a mid-afternoon game, so I might take a little bit of a shot at the Colorado Rockies there. But that was one that kind of stood out to me, because when the market catches up with the pitcher that you like to bet, and look, I think Pablo Lopez is one of the better pitchers in the National League, but when you get used to having a price in the market that you're not used to having, I typically like to go against that first time out.
All right. I made a baseball bet yesterday, by the way, and I get it. It's not nearly the best price that had been available, but I was getting so upset not having any Mookie Betts positions that I just grabbed a +450 on him to win NL MVP, because I just didn't want to be without one entirely. He has been scorching. So in a Shohei last year kind of way, where I grabbed the last 4-1 in town, I grabbed some Mookie, because Lord knows I wouldn't be surprised if he got home in the end. Wes, you're the best. Thank you so much, man. What was that, 5 different sports in there? Appreciate it, man.
We cover all bases, Gil. Thank you for having me, sir.
We do. The great Wes Reynolds, everybody, at WesReynolds1. That's the number one on Twitter. Andy McNeil on Game 7 tonight. And, of course, on the other side, the Lanch and the Oilers. That's next.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. The betting splits page will show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, and now it's updated every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. You'll be able to see where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits! Yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. It's Gil Alexander. Ben Wilson is in for Jeff Parlay this week as well. And one of the many talents that Ben has, besides doing play-by-play for multiple sports, college baseball, arena football, just a couple that he's mentioned here that he's done in the last few days, he also can find the tennis channel, which I really appreciate. So the tennis channel on in studio this morning, we just saw Tsitsipas go down, and Jesse Pegula, future billionaire heiress to the Buffalo Bills Pegula empire. She is going to be a top 10 player in the world after this tournament when the rankings come out. And she is a couple games away now. She's a break up in the final set here, on her way to the quarters, if she can get this done at the French Open, which would mean that 3 Americans on the ladies' side will have gotten to the quarterfinals: Jesse Pegula and then two ladies who will play each other tomorrow in Sloane Stephens and Coco Gauff. Gauff a big favorite in that match. So good on Jessie Pegula if she can get this done. Imagine that. You're a Ben Wilson. Your parents are going to bequeath you, upon their demise, billions of dollars. Billions.
Literal billions.
Billions. Yeah. And yet you still have the stick-to-itiveness to become a top 10 player in the world in tennis. You got to give it to her.
Impressive. And, I mean, she's someone who was kind of hemmed in as just a Australian Open fast hard court specialist, mm-hmm. two quarters last 2 years, but hadn't really done anything on clay. Her clay numbers weren't great. And here she is. I mean, she's up 4-1 in the third, and it's too bad she has to take on one Iga Swiatek in the next round. But I feel so happy for her, the way she's been able to kind of get over the hump on some of these other surfaces. And I will say, if we get a Layla Coco semi, that would be really, really interesting on the bottom half of the women's draw, if that's how it plays out.
It has been, All of this is the non-Iga conversation of the lady side. That's right. She's her own thing, that's for sure. That is going to be, these matches moving forward are tremendous. Again, I'll say it one last time, as much fun as we have betting it, as successful as we have betting it, I will never understand the casual American sports fan not warming to the sport of tennis. I would argue once again, it is the greatest combination of physical and mental achievement on a daily basis that you will ever see in any sport. Some better physically, some better mentally, maybe, you could argue. No combination like what these guys do and these ladies do. Andy McNeil, he covers hockey for us at Digital Gambler on the Twitter machine. And, of course, star of Hockey Night in Canada, big Canadian superstar that he is. It's Andy McNeil. How you doing, Andy?
I'm doing pretty good. And I was just wondering if maybe Terry Pegula can focus on tennis now and sell the Buffalo Sabres.
And sell the Sabres? You would be in favor of that? Well, I don't know. Maybe that's
Yeah. Buffalo fans deserve let's just say.
A little better than they've been getting through the years here, I know. Buffalo Sabres, who when I was a kid were a perennial contender, and they would inevitably lose to the Bruins, it seemed like, every year in the postseason. Okay, Andy.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
You go ahead, Gil. It's your show.
Okay. All right. I will then. Darn it. All right. So let's start. We got a few things to talk about here. Let's start with tonight's Game 7 in the Eastern Conference. The Hurricanes, as you call them, the Hurricanes and the New York Rangers, Game 7 back in Carolina. And the Hurricanes are a favorite here, about -150 favorite in this, with the Rangers coming back +130. Let me just ask about because again, it's the home road splits thing. Quantify that for us. Like, by your numbers, how big of a deal is home ice in the postseason, really? And is this a thing to you, or are you just viewing this as random?
Well, I think it's a thing, as it is in throughout the season, and this year it's mattered a lot. Last I checked, I think heading into the weekend, home teams had won, upwards of 60% of the game so far in the playoffs. But I also think what's happening with Carolina is more of it is being made out of it than I don't put as much stock into it. Sorry, they were up against a tough team in Boston in the first round. It's not crazy to think that they could have lost games on the road in that series. And here we are in New York, and they're facing off a really good goaltender in Igor Shesterkin. They've played well. For example, I thought in Game 6 they came out and they were the better team. They had some great chances. Shesterkin stood tall early, and Antti Raanta didn't. And that was kind of the story there. I think there's definitely a lot of bad luck mixed in there, and doesn't really matter right now. They just have to win tonight, and then they can start fresh in round three. But it's an interesting storyline for sure. But I think too much is being made of the Hurricanes' road record in these playoffs.
You staying away here, or are you making a play on this game?
Series has been a lot closer than I predicted it would be, and I've come down quite a bit on Carolina here against New York. I think it should be around -140, which is in line with the market. So You know, I think the market's pretty wise on things here. It's been a low scoring series. Four out of the six games have been four goals or less. And, you know, in game six, we saw seven goals, and that was the highest scoring game in this series. And we've seen a big trend to the under in game seven. Since 2011, the average number of goals is 4.7, median number 4.5. 17 of the last 25 game sevens have been under 5.5 goals, and the total here today is set at 5 flat. So I think the market's got this one right for the most part.
What do you make the Lightning against either of these teams?
Okay, so against the Hurricanes, it's a little tougher because Frederik Andersen has been skating and he seems to be working his way back. He's not going to play in Game 7, but you know, maybe he could be ready early in a conference final series against the Lightning. And if that's the case, I'd still make Carolina an underdog, but probably around plus 110, plus 115. With Ranta in goal, he's been great in the playoffs overall, terrible in the last game. But with him in goal, I'd probably make Carolina around plus 135. They'd have home ice in that series, as would the Rangers if they are able to win tonight and make it to the conference final. I believe they have the tiebreaker against Tampa Bay here, one more win than the Lightning have. And I'd make them probably closer to 2-1, maybe shorter than that, but big mismatch. The Rangers have been good versus Carolina, but I think the Lightning and Vasilevskiy definitely is a big mismatch for the Rangers.
I said this the other day. Vasilevskiy, has he entered like the Mount Rushmore in NHL history of goaltenders at this point? Like, is he in that conversation?
I think there's some people out there that are going to knock him for not being necessarily great in the regular season. I think, you know, it'll come down to whether or not Tampa Bay can three-peat here, and he's going to need to be great. And if he is, then I personally think he's, you know, the best goaltender I've seen in my, you know, definitely in the later parts of my life here. And you know, if he was to win another Stanley Cup with Tampa Bay this year, then he would. I think he takes the crown.
All right, we got 90 seconds. Obviously, it's the Colorado Avalanche and the Edmonton Oilers out west, the Western Conference Finals. The Avalanche are big favorites in the series, minus 250, minus 175 in Game 1. That series begins tomorrow night in Colorado. Boy, that's a big number on the Avalanche, minus 250. I know that maybe your pre-flop numbers had them what they were, but you obviously have changed your opinion, as so many of us have, watching the Oilers this postseason.
Yeah, and there's a lot of guesswork here. Obviously, Colorado is a different beast than the LA Kings, and I guess the Calgary Flames, who really didn't show up in round two. But it's tough. We McDavid changes everything. But what really is impressive about the Oilers is just the contributions they've got. Like, I mean, McDavid has 26 points. Draisaitl has 26 points. And then you go down the list, you got Evander Kane leading the playoffs in goals. Zach Hyman has 8 goals. That's as many as Nathan MacKinnon has, and MacKinnon has been great for the Avalanche. So if Edmonton can continue to get this secondary scoring and the Avalanche struggle with some of their top stars like Mikko Rantanen, who only has 1 goal in the playoffs, so far, it could kind of break things wide open. But really, I think the market's got that one right. I'm around minus 265 in favor of the Avalanche, minus 270, somewhere around there.
All right. Andy, enjoy. Great talking to you, man. Should be fun from here on out.
Take care, Gil. Thanks.
Andy McNeil, everybody. At Digital Gambler on Twitter. Game 7 tonight between the Hurricanes and the Rangers. Paul Spohr on baseball next. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks. When you wager on the BetMGM app, sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander, Ben Wilson in for Jeff Parlay. Ben, we keep getting feedback on our college baseball segment earlier. This is a
great segment, Gil.
Come on. This is a text from Brad Porras down in Texas. He said, Ben did a great job explaining the format. This is Brad who tried to explain this to me for 20 minutes yesterday. He said, Ben did a great job explaining the format. If you can't understand it, then you're probably a disappointment to your mother compared to your brother.
That's great.
That's probably true.
I don't want to be that harsh as Brad, but I mean, come on.
This is from Hazmat Harry again. He says, imagine having Ben spend the entire time in that elevator trying to explain the baseball college seating. My gosh, that poor pregnant woman.
That's awesome. Yeah, probably a good thing I wasn't there last night in that AEW broken elevator.
Could you imagine?
Thank goodness.
Again, Wes Reynolds stuck on the elevator after wrestling yesterday with Aaron Oster as well in that elevator and a pregnant woman. Ben, so you see, if you're in a pod and then you advance out of that pod to the super regionals, they would assassinate you by the time that elevator was probably freed of its bondage. By the way, this is also one from Game Time Jones, because Dan Bespris, who's a regular basketball guest on the show, came on at some point during the regular season and said he would bet the Celtics 25-1 to win the Atlantic Division. And remember, they were trailing the Sixers at the time. And someone asked Game Time Jones, anyone know what the number on the Celtics to win the East was when Dan recommended them to win the Atlantic? Come on, Dan. And none of us can remember, but we'd have to go back. But obviously, if they were 25 to win the Atlantic, we just had Blake from Sports Odds History on and said the Celtics peaked to win it all at 66-1. So somewhere between those two numbers is the answer to that question.
I remember seeing a 28-1 to win the East. I don't know if that was the actual peak, but I know 28-1 was out there.
Yeah.
Probably could have done a little better based on that overall NBA title number.
Yeah, based on it being 25-1 to win the Atlantic at that point, probably better than 28-1 to win the East. But either way, we'll see. Celtics get the East. We'll see if they can win the title itself. That starts Thursday against the Warriors. Ladies and gentlemen, he is at FanGraphs. He's the host of the Sleeper in the Bus podcast. And, of course, you can watch him every night on twitch.tv/Spore playing MLB The Show. It's Paul Spore. How you doing, Paul?
Gil, I'm well. How are you?
Doing very well. Paul, be bringing back the same hat from last week. Oh, a little retro.
Well, it was a different show, though.
Oh, that's true. It was.
Primetime Action. So this is for the beating the books
viewers. For the morning audience.
Yeah.
So for this is again. So explain to the new audience here. Then.
It's an orange barrel in the traffic barrel with a catcher's mitt. It's for a Peoria minor league team, Peoria Chiefs, and basically it started as a joke when someone came in one day and said, like, there's so much construction going around the stadium that we should be the Peoria Orange Barrels. And then they made it happen. So I don't live in Peoria. This is a local thing. But I saw the hat and I was like, I got to have it. And actually, somebody who lives out in Peoria who watches my Twitch stream sent me one because he was able to get it from the shop.
First question, Paul. There are, let's count them. There are 13 Major League Baseball games on today. There are only six that are on during the day. Why is baseball so dumb? It's Memorial Day. This is supposed to be their thing.
Every year on Memorial Day and 4th of July. It is the dumbest thing. This sport continues to shoot itself in the foot, never take advantage of things that it has naturally, which is some summer holidays. It's insane. Basketball has embraced their stranglehold on Christmas and expanded over the years. They don't have everyone playing, but Christmas is a little bit different than a Memorial Day or a 4th of July. Football embraces their Thanksgiving. They've expanded their schedule from just the Lions and the Cowboys games. Baseball, no, we're gonna trim it down. That's what we're gonna do. They're so dumb, it's unbelievable. It's truly unbelievable. Sometimes.
This is mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. I was mentioning earlier, before we get to your picks from today or your DFS plays, I went ahead yesterday. There's just Mookie Betts just killing it in the month of May. Just absolutely doing the Mookie thing in the calendar month of May. And I, you know, Jason Weingarten was on last week. He was like, yeah, you can get him 25-1. He was like, he was a longer price than CJ Krohn was, for instance, to win the respective MVP there. And so, you know, he was recommending it. It's all the way down to plus 450. And I did the Shohei thing. Last year, I was like, let me grab the Shohei 4-1 before, you know, it goes into minus numbers and beyond.
Yeah.
So I did that with Mookie. You endorse that wager, plus 450? I know it's not the best number.
I adore Mookie. Yeah, I mean, obviously, it would have been cool if he had gotten a better number. He's somebody that I did see as an MVP candidate coming into the year. Got him in a bunch of fantasy leagues because the community was a little bit down on him. He was going late first round, sometimes early second round. And I've just never really understood, I shouldn't say never as if it's been going on for a while, but kind of starting last year, there's been like this weird Mookie backlash in fantasy world, again, where he goes like late first round, early second. So still a premium player, but I see him as like a top six, seven type player. So when I got him in my main draft in Vegas at pick 15, I was doing backflips.
This is 2 days ago from Bob Nightingale, so I don't have this updated, but Mookie, month of May, 354, 11 homers, 9 doubles, 26 RBI, 30 runs.
Give the runs. Yeah, there you go. The 30 runs. I mean, it's just insane. And, you know, to move it a little bit over to the fantasy again, those runs are what makes him so good, too. And 340, 11, and 30 is where it's at now. So whatever your updated was there, I forget what you said for the home run count. But Mookie's just been amazing. That team is truly insane. He's one of the steadiest players there is out there. Like, his down years are MVP, or I mean, all-star caliber seasons for guys. So I've always been a Mookie fan. I think he's one of the very best players in the game, and he's still on the right side of 30 too. So if he stays healthy, I think you got yourself a good shot there with that bet.
Still on the right side of 30. Jeez. Seems like we've been with Mookie for many, many years.
I know.
Still on the right side of 30. All right. DFS. Do we have daytime DFS and nighttime DFS? Is that how it's usually split up, or what are we doing today?
It is today. I just kind of focused on the night one because I'm just enjoying the day off a little bit. So I didn't do much for the day. Maybe I'll throw a lineup together. But right now at night, I'm looking at a Walker Buehler, Andy Ashby combo going up against Pittsburgh and the Cubs, respectively. Buehler especially. I mean, he'll be pretty chalky. I get that, but I'm in for it. I'm also looking at some Dodgers themselves with their hitters, Edwin Rios, Gavin Lux. They might bat a little bit lower, but they're also a bit cheaper. And generally, you try to stay five and above in the lineup. But when you're talking about the Dodgers, somebody who bats eight or nine is kind of like batting six in a real lineup. I'm also going to be trying to focus on some Red Sox. Tyler Wells has shown some things this year with Baltimore, as have a lot of Baltimore pitchers. I don't care, though. Tyler Wells is not nearly good enough to run away from the Red Sox. I think aces right now are not good enough to run away from the Red Sox. So Red Sox, Dodgers are going to be the focus with the lineup. And if I have to pivot off of Buehler to get that big Red Sox, Dodgers lineup and really get your Devers in there, your Mookies, your JD Martinez's, then I will. I'll absolutely do that. So that's kind of where I'm looking today is to really beat up, ride the hot streak with the Red Sox. Of course, Dodgers, you never go wrong. And then Aaron Ashby, gosh, I've been calling him Andy the last week, like crazy. That's his uncle, by the way. It's not a father-son combo there. But yeah, I really like him against the Cubs. He's going to have volatility due to his command, but when he's on, Aaron Ashby is a beast. So I like him as kind of a lower cost guy, 7,300 against the Cubs there. Allows you to get some of that higher end stuff. I'm talking all DraftKings prices, by the way.
Yeah, don't worry. I think there was an Allen Ashby when I was a kid.
There was. And there's no relation there. Oh. So all three of these guys, I thought so too. I was like, well, then maybe Allen is his dad. Nope, Alan's just out on an island over there having an AA initial name. But Andy and Aaron are related. It's a Dan Plesac, Zach Plesac, nephew, uncle type of deal, though.
What's your favorite bet today? If I made you make one, what's your bet?
I'm going to go with my Tigers.
Okay.
I don't often
sheepishly,
do that.
Yes.
Very sheepishly.
Yeah.
It's a bet against Dylan Bundy. It really is. I mean, the volatility of Dylan Bundy is extreme. I'm not sure that he nets a minus 160. And my Tigers are not good, let's be honest. I understand that. But a home dog like that against a pitcher who can blow up, Absolutely. I'm going to go ahead and do that. And then a secondary one is a little different, and it's more of a bet against Zach Plesac with the Royals. I don't dislike the Guardians as much as I do the Tigers offense. In fact, the Guardians offense is decent because they have Jose Ramirez. But again, Zach Plesac does not earn a minus 160. I'll take KC plus 145 as well. So those are two teams I would look at. Detroit and KC, a couple bottom feeders in the AL Central, but I think there's some decent numbers on them today.
All right, Paul, we got to run. But just in closing, is Tommy Pham the worst human being on planet Earth?
He seems like a total hardo and a complete dick. I cannot stand him. And everything I heard about him, he made him look worse at every step of the way. What a crybaby loser.
Talking, of course, about a fantasy football matter that resulted in Tommy Pham slapping Jock Peterson. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
Take care, Gil.
Enjoy. Lombardi Line next from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.